Well, I sound a little bit different, don't I? I sound like I was talking out of a tin can out of that other mic and kind of just, I could hear myself bouncing off that wall and coming back. How many of y'all glad to be in God's house this morning? Oh, that was lame. That was the sickest thing ever. How many of y'all glad to be in God's house this morning? Woo! All right, now you're awake. Now you can listen. I hope that you participate too and listen to what God's gonna have to say to you. And I just want you to, if you can, to just tune out everything that's going on in your life. Listen to what God has to speak to us about this morning. You know, the holidays are on us and Thanksgiving is behind us and Christmas is quickly approaching. How many of y'all are ready for Christmas? Most of us are doing, well, we're kinda, but we're not ready, you know. But whether you're ready for or not, it's coming. It's coming, and it's coming fast. And it just seems like everything at this time of the year is so rushed. I mean, it's just like we don't have enough time to get everything done that we want to do. Everything that we need to, people that we need to go see. Just things seem to speed up, and things seem to get really complicated this time of year. Whether it's talking about our getting together with our family, getting together with our extended family, getting together with our father and mother, our brothers and sisters. Man, it just gets tough with our children having to get with us during the holidays. It just seems to get hard sometimes. You know, some of us will be going visiting other family members, and they'll be coming to visit us maybe over the holidays, and not all of them that we have contact with have the same belief, have the same faith that we have. Any of y'all have that problem to where that you got family members that don't actually believe like you do, or they don't think like you do when it comes to politics, football, sports, any kind of sports, anything that's going on in the world today? You know, they have a different outlook than you have. You know, some of us are empty nesters to where that we have sons and daughters and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and all the stress of trying to figure out how to keep from offending a family member, not giving them their fair share of time. It's hard. Sometimes it gets real hard. Sometimes it's easy, but it's all in the way that you look at it. It's all how you respond to it. Couples who are new parents and are trying to adjust to all the stress. Even if you don't have any children, it's just hard when you first get married. But if you have children in the mix, it's getting together with family members that you may have not spent Christmas with before, or Thanksgiving. You've got children involved now, and you're trying to set up your own family traditions, things that you want to do with your own personal family. You know, but I tell you, it can be hard and it can be stressful, but y'all, it doesn't have to be that way. That's the good news about it. It doesn't have to be stressful during the holidays. It can be the most joyous time that you've ever experienced this time of year. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, there are some things we should remember. One of them is Jesus tells us that the gospel brings a sword of division and sometimes splits families up. Have you already experienced that? When you're the only one that you come to Christ and everyone else in your family, they just don't get it. They don't understand what's going on in your life. They're seeing a different person than they saw before. In Matthew 10:34 through 37, it says this, if I can get that tongue to get back in its proper spot. It says, "Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth." Now, this sounds a little contrary to Christ being peaceful, doesn't it? "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of becoming mine. And if you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine." You know, but actually, the Scripture says that God, that Jesus did come to bring peace. It seems, well, this is contradictory. Like in Galatians 5:22, it says this: "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Sometimes our faith can cause division in our families. Sometimes our faith can cause division with our friends, folks that we know. Jesus did bring peace, but it's a spiritual peace to us. Peace from God that doesn't have anything to do with the situation that you're in at the time. No matter what battles you're facing, whether you don't have a job, whether you're looking for work, or you're working too much, you've got too many things going on, you've got too many family members to get with, your family is too huge to fit it all into the holidays. Makes no difference what's going on in your situation. Jesus can bring peace to your heart. Peace from God doesn't have anything to do with what's going on, but it's a gift from God that we can't manufacture ourselves. Just think about it. This is a gift. In Galatians 5, it says, that it's a gift from God for us to have peace. How many of us are having turmoil in our lives right now? Things are just going wrong. Things get hard. Life gets hard. Things just happen to you, and you're wondering, man, Lord, how can I get past where I'm at? I'm having such a struggle. Please help me. We beg for healing. We ask for everything under the sun, everything that's going on in our lives. But as believers, we should strive for peace with everyone. When we get together, as our families do often, how many of y'all talk about politics? Anybody? Oh, Lord, we do. We get to talking about Obama and what he not doing, what he should do in my family. Start talking about religion, whether it's about Muslims or whether it's about any other religion. About sports, arguing which team is best. In ours, we have Texas, University of Texas lovers. We have Baylor University lovers. We have A&M lovers. I mean, it's unreal. When they get together, it's just like, mine is better than yours. They want to argue about it. Well, we're going to, you just haven't played us yet. When we're at our best. Now, if we had our first string quarterback, oh boy, would you be in trouble? That's what it's like around our household during those times, during the holidays. When you get around family, it should be a peaceful time, a comforting time, a joyful time, not a hard time. We don't have to be the one that's causing the trouble. I like to give people a hard time. I do. And you'd think, oh man, you're a preacher. Why do you do that? Well, you know, it's just in my nature as I grew up. I like to aggravate just a little bit, not much. My wife would tell you that it's more than what I'm saying, but it's really not true. I promise you. But my sister-in-law, who I love dearly, she's a sweet lady, loves the Lord. One year she made this fruit salad, and I like fruit salad. I can't help it. It's just, you know, it seems weird to some people, but to me, I just like the taste of all those fruits mixed together. But she made this concoction, and it was her first time to try it. And she placed it on the table, and my brain was out of gear. My good sense had been taken back because I looked at that and I said, looks like somebody already chewed that up and spit it out. Guess who was standing right next to me? Bam! She hits me. She said, "I'll get you." I said, "Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I don't know what was I thinking? Well, I wasn't thinking, I guarantee you. It was just one of them times where she got me back the next Christmas. You know, a year changes things. You forget. I forget them in a day. But, I mean, here it had been a whole year, and we get back together with the family, and she has this fruit salad. She said, I changed the formula just for you. I said, well, God bless you, darling. I appreciate that. You know how I love fruit salad. She said, I really put a lot of effort in it because I asked Claudia what you liked in it and everything. And I took a bite of it. Oh, my goodness. She opened up her refrigerator and she took jalapenos, pecani sauce, dumped fruit salad in it, you name it, horseradish. Everything that you can imagine that when you mixed it together, it was the most, it really did taste like vomit, but I'm not. But I sit there and I smiled and I ate it and I said, this is the best fruit salad I have ever had. And she looked at me right now and she said, you are the biggest liar I've ever seen. Everybody thought it was funny except one person. My father, who was alive at the time, he had been sitting there eating it too. No one noticed that he had taken a couple of bites of it. He hadn't said a word, but I guarantee you he was as red as this shirt. And he was not happy. Matter of fact, he got mad. And he stayed mad the rest of the day. So you see, something that I did a whole year ago, some nonsense, some kid, some joke thing that I said out of my mouth caused someone else the next Christmas not to have a good one. I enjoyed the heck out of it, but he didn't enjoy it too much. We should have a peaceful spirit during the holidays and be peacemakers instead of troublemakers. And I need to hear my own. As I started this message last Sunday, I was thinking about what God's already started telling me. He said, I want you to start preparing people's hearts for what's coming. That's all he said at the first of the week. And I thought, Lord, what's coming? You know, man, is there some catastrophe fixing to happen? What is it? And by Tuesday, he had already let me know that it was about Christmas is coming and how we should look at Christmas. What we should be thinking about during the Christmas holidays when we get together with our families. Not being argumentative, not being one to stir up trouble. When Uncle Bob gets in there and starts ranting and raving about something, about Obama or anybody else, you know, we don't have to harp in and throw some fire on the wood. Let's burn it. As believers, as peacemakers, we should be the one that tries to help put that fire out. To cause peace and calm to come back to the situation, not make it worse. A lot of time, trouble starts not because of how much Christians love their family, but how much we want to be right. How we want to show a not-so-good Christian attitude of that who we are and that we know the right answers. You have to be real careful. I know and I didn't ever really have this problem until I became a pastor. About because they want to hear what I have to say. Now, that's stupid because y'all don't want to hear what I have to say, so why would my family? But they'll make a comment, and they just stop, and they look at me to see my response, to see if I'm going to be agitated, to see if I'm going to be mad, or if I'm going to jump on the bandwagon and bash that person also. You know, having to be right. How many of y'all like to be right? Oh, come on, everybody, get your hand up. Don't sit there and say you don't want to be right. You know you want to be right. You don't like being wrong, do you? No. When someone shows you up to be wrong, what happens? You're going to try to take up for yourself, aren't you? You're going to say, that's not true. I believe this, this, and this. Or I think we ought to do this. Or this is what we need to do. As many times as Jesus was browbeat, as many times as he was called a liar, a demonic being, a wino for making wine for a wedding, all the things that they talk bad about Jesus, not one time did he try to prove that he was right. I looked it up. Not one time did he defend himself or defend what he believed. Satan uses even our Christian beliefs against us. He uses it to cause a bit of pride to swell up into us, to where that we think that we're right, that we know the right way. Well, in a way, it's true. As believers in Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, I know that there's only one way to heaven. You can't be good enough. There's nothing you can do except receive the free gift of eternal life, something He died for. He died for you in your place. Now, there's a lot of people that are in your family maybe that don't know that. Maybe they know it and they take exception. They get mad about it. They go, you know, well, there's other ways to get to heaven. Believe me, at family functions, that's not the place to argue the fact. You just pray for them. You just smile and tell them that you love them. That's the thing. He wants to cause division in our families. He wants to cause division not only in our between each other, but if he can maybe he can get you so riled up that your wife get mad at you because you said too much, or that your husband gets mad at you because you said too much. Satan doesn't care if that pride comes through looking around the family table and figuring out how much more money someone makes than you, how much your brother-in-law makes than you do, how much more he has than you have, or whether it comes from looking around the table and saying, thank God, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that Democrat, or I'm not like that Republican, or I'm not like that sinner, how they live in sin. Thank God that I'm not like that. I tell you, that's pride. And it doesn't honor the Lord at all. We're most likely going to be challenged in our families when we get together. It's up to us whether we puff up. Have you ever got so aggravated at a situation? You got puffed up, you got red-faced, you swelled up, and you just... fine, and you just stomp out of the room. Anybody ever done that? Huh? Am I the only one? Have you ever just got so mad you said, I've had it up to here. I don't want to hear another word from you. I'm done. And you get out of the room, and then you forget. You go, oh my gosh, I forgot my car keys. I left my phone was laying right there on that table. Now I got to go back in there, and I got to show my face again. It's not so pleasant to have to go back after you just got through chomping everybody's head off, is it? Whether it's that or it's just that raised eyebrow, that dirty look that we give. Anybody else got one of those except my wife? No, I didn't mean my wife. I meant me. Hope you're not listening. I'm not going to let her listen to this on tape. But to where when you say something, that person, you look at him, you go, that looked like you're not pleased with what they're saying. Maturity and a calm spirit will cause a heated situation to go down. It's like throwing water on a burning fire. It's our nature, though, to be right. We will be held accountable, though, on judgment day for every word that we say, for every smart aleck remark we give, forever raised eyebrow, for every time we get puffed up and stomp out of the room. We're going to be accountable for that for someday when we stand before the throne. Jesus is going to ask us about it. Why? He said, if you're mine and I have a peaceful spirit, where'd that come from? If I'm supposed to be living through you and I'm supposed to be showing God's love through you. Where did all that go at that moment? Where did your self-control go out of control and your spirit took over and not mine? These are questions he's asked me. Why do you do the things you do, boy? Because I'm stupid. I keep doing the same thing expecting to get a different result. Oh, that's insanity, isn't it? I guess all of us have a little bit of insanity in us then. To wrap up, the holidays should be a time of peace and goodwill toward each other with true humility and true love and not an angry spirit. You know, these are just a couple of ideas for you to be thinking about. This is just something that the Lord wanted me to present to you to get ready for what's coming. Get ready to prepare your hearts for Christmas. Not presents. I'm not talking about, the mad dash to get just the right gift for each other or for Uncle Bob or for Mom or Dad. I'm talking about what gift are you going to give to Jesus this year? Have you given any thought that this is His birthday? What birthday party do you ever have that whose birthday it is you don't give them a present? Have you ever been to a birthday party like that? If it's a child's birthday, everybody gets a gift except the birthday boy. And he's just going to be sitting there like, what kind of birthday is this? Christmas is about Jesus' birth, His birthday, not ours. But we're going to get presents, don't worry. We're going to get all the gifts that we desire, probably. Well, maybe not all of us, because it depends on what you desire. But most of us will get some good stuff for Christmas. What does Jesus get this year? What are you going to give the Lord this year? These are just a few things to mull around in our hearts before it gets here. To prepare our hearts and our mind for a joyful fellowship with each other and with the Lord. A meaningful time with our family and with the Lord. Without all the drama. Man, I hate drama. Don't you? Y'all know what I mean by drama? Yeah, you do. You might be one of them that likes to dish it out. You know, it's not about me, it's not about us, when drama starts, it's when it's because we made it about us. This year, let's make Christmas something special. This year, let's make Christmas something that we will remember for the rest of our lives, the year that we put Jesus first, not us. The year when we got together, we get together with our families, that we share Jesus' love, not condemnation, not saying we got to be right and how they're doing everything wrong. Making Christmas the best Christmas we've ever had. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning just thanking you for this message. Boy, this is not fun, Lord, to be able to talk about how I'm not doing things right. How I have these things in my heart that I need to change. Father, if there's anyone else here this morning that needed to hear this message, Father, I just pray that it would take seed in their heart. Lord, that we would all start thinking about Christmas in a different way. Not commercially, like the world wants to make it, but a spiritual awakening, a spiritual event in our lives. We just thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. I just thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, I just pray protection for everyone that's here. If someone is here this morning and they do not know you as their Lord and Savior, if they've never trusted you and believed in you for salvation, Lord, that they would not leave this place until they get that right. Father, that they would receive you as their Lord and Savior and receive that free gift that only you can give. I just ask for protection as they're traveling during these times, that you would get them safely. I pray for healing, for hurt feelings that may be in the family, Lord, that need to be healed, that need to be repaired. Things that happened years ago, Lord, are still hanging on like these giant heavy chains onto our body and on our soul. I pray, Father, that you would help just break those chains, that they just fall to the ground and turn into dust. Father, that we can solely and wholly worship you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Man, I hope y'all had a great week. I know.